Our gospel lesson this morning is from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 45. It's found on page 959 in the Pew Bible, if you would like to follow along. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. If you're able, would you please stand? So through this season of Epiphany, we've been reading through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And so we continue to hear from Jesus as to how we are to live in this world. So this is what Jesus teaches. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of and daughters of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are here in your presence with our hearts and our minds open, ready and willing to hear your voice. May the Holy Spirit work with us, empower us, strengthen us, so that the words that we hear, we will have courage to live out in our world today and be your sons and daughters who proclaim your message of love. We thank you so much for being here with us, ministering to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount that we've been reading for the last 5-6 weeks, it's probably the one of the foundational teaching of our faith, right? As a Christian church. It's a manual for how to live as the followers of Christ in this world. So through these teachings, last week Jesus was taking those commandments and he was reinterpreting it for us as to how we are to live our lives, choosing the way that will bring, that will express our faith. Choosing not the fear, but choosing to live in love and so forth. And so today we continue reading that, choosing to act with compassion and love, regardless who and what that person has done, expanding our boundaries and capacity for love. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said. So basically what he's doing again is all the laws and what people believe, all their faith that's been taught to them, he's helping them to reinterpret. Okay? So what have they heard? They've heard it was said, love your neighbor. Okay? And hate your enemy. And if you read through the book of Leviticus, it's, you know, God kind of lays down like these rules for these people to live. And it was the time where, you know, where people will retaliate in force. So God trying to kind of stay like at a level that they don't kill everybody. So it was like, okay, if your neighbor hurt your eye, then you hurt, you know, that person just that much. So eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And that's kind of how the world has been operating, you know, at their best. So here Jesus is now introducing a new teaching. Says, here's a new way for you to live. No more eye for eye, tooth for tooth. No more of just loving your family, loving your friends, loving your neighbor, and hating your enemy. He says, now, I want you to go further. You know, go out on a limb. And not only love your friends and love your neighbors, but also love your enemies. Love your enemies. So here, what Jesus is calling his people to do is don't be nice anymore. Okay, nice, you know, nice is good, but nice is not good enough. What Jesus is calling for is rather than just being a nice neighbor, nice people, he's calling for us to be a radical people with radical love, with radical hospitality. You know, throughout the Gospels, as Jesus taught in this way, there were people followed him, but at some point, they said, this is too hard. This is too hard of a teaching. And they left, right? They walked away. To me, this is probably the hardest teaching that we find in the whole Bible. Not only love your neighbor, but love your enemy also. How do you love an enemy? So, to expand our boundaries and capacity for love, Jesus gives three examples what it means to love our enemy. So this is something that we all know, right? Jesus said, turn the other cheek if someone slaps you. Give more than what they ask for. If someone forces you to go a mile, go 2 miles. It's like that's the kind of radical love and hospitality Jesus is calling us to practice. And so many of us, we have questions. So if someone slaps me on the right cheek, on the left cheek, then what? You want me to turn the other cheek? You know, if I keep doing that, what am I going to end up being? A doormat. People are going to just keep stepping on me. That's our fear. But biblical scholar Walter Wink unpacks these teachings of Jesus as it explains the original context of these little examples that Jesus gives and the intended meaning. So when Jesus said, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. For someone to strike the right cheek means that it would require someone to strike you with the back of the right hand. Okay, so let me see. Okay, Jim here. Which... No. Which is your right hand, right side? Okay. So, you know, for, let's say, I'm the one who's striking. I'm sorry. I won't do that. But, you know, for me to strike him on this side of the cheek, what do I have to do? I have to do it this way, right? Hit him this way to hit him on this side. See, what that means is a backhanded slap was a serious insult and a routine way to keep the inferiors in line. By turning the other cheek, you are serving a notice that you refuse to be humiliated, because you turn the other cheek, and so if Jim turns the other cheek for me to slap him that way, it means I have to use my palm. And using the palm means that, you know, I acknowledge you as a human being. That's what it means. To strike the left cheek would require the person to use the palm, a sign that you are a person of equal worth. So when Jesus said, if someone struck you on the right cheek, turn your left, it wasn't that you be the doormat. It was that, you know what, in a nonviolent way, you are asserting yourself and forcing the other person to acknowledge you as a person of value, a person of worth. The second illustration, if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. In Jesus' days, the poor lived under terrible burdens of debt, and often losing everything, their families, house, and so to repay their debt. And the last resort was the clothes on their back. So literally, you know, when they're that much in debt, then the clothes on their back was also taken from them. Here's one thing, though. Jewish law strictly forbade creditors to keep past sundown a poor person's cloak, outer garment, as a pledge of payment, because that might be the only thing they have to keep themselves covered middle of the night as they're sleeping. So this is in Exodus chapter 22 and Deuteronomy 24. This is one of the law that God had given them. In addition, Jewish custom considered nakedness a great shame, not for the person who's naked, but for those who are viewing. Because that person is naked as a result of the greed of the neighbors. So when Jesus said, if someone wants to take your undergarment, give them your cloak also, what does that mean? So if you give your undergarment and your outer garment, what are you left with? Nothing. And so you are naked, and who's the shame? Who's to shame? The person who took it. So here again, Jesus is saying, you can deal with all these ways in a loving, non-violent way, but also in a radical way, to put the others at shame for the greed that they are exhibiting. Finally, he says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. In Jesus' times, Jerusalem, the Israel was under Roman occupation. So there were Roman soldiers everywhere. And the Roman soldiers just took liberty. It was okay for them to take advantage of whoever that they can. Especially when, like, they would carry a large packs of their gears, which was very heavy. So they can just call anyone out on the street, hey, you, come here, carry my pack. and the person has to carry it for them. Otherwise, they'll be beaten. But the one thing is the law says that they can only, the Roman soldier can only make you go certain distance. 1 mile is all that they can make you go, like 1,000 paces. So that when it comes to that, then, you know, the Roman soldier will find someone else to carry it for another mile and so forth. So here, you will carry it for a mile, and then Roman soldier says, okay, you're done, you could go home. And you say, okay, no, I'll carry for you another mile. And you keep going. You could imagine this Roman soldier now begging him, no, put it down, stop, put it down. You need to stop right here, put my pack down. Because for him, his regulation is that you could only make him go 1 mile. If goes over, then he's in trouble. Jesus' teaching here has nothing to do with being a passive doormat. Rather, it's about claiming the inherent worth of a person as a child of God and exercising subversive power of loving our enemies. In the movie Gandhi, the great Indian leader, is walking one day with a Presbyterian missionary, Charlie Andrews. The two suddenly find their way blocked by young thugs. The Reverend Andrews takes one look at the menacing gangsters and decides to run for it. Gandhi takes him, stops him, and asks, doesn't the New Testament say if an enemy strikes you on the right cheek, you should offer him the left? Andrews mumbles something about Jesus speaking metaphorically. Gandhi replies, I am not so sure. I suspect he meant you must show courage. Be willing to take a blow, several blows maybe, to show you will not strike back, nor will you be turned aside. Another story here. A former Boston Red Sox Hall of Fame third baseman, Wade Boggs. Anybody know him? Okay. Hated Yankee Stadium. Not because of the Yankees. They never really gave him that much trouble. But because of a fan. One fan. The guy had a box seat close to the field, and when the Red Sox were in town, he would torment Box by shouting obscenities and insults. It's hard to imagine one fan getting under a player's skin, but this guy had the recipe. So one day, as Box was warming up, the fan began his routine yelling, "Hey, Box, you stink!" and all these variations on that theme. So he had enough. He walked directly over to the man who was sitting in the stands and said, "Hey, fella, are you the guy who's always yelling at me?" The man said, "Yeah, it's me. What are you going to do about it?" So Wade took a new baseball out of his pocket. He autographed it, and then he tossed it to the man and went back to the field to his pregame routine. Guess what? The man never yelled at Box again. In fact, he became one of his biggest fans at Yankee Stadium. This is what Jesus means by love your enemies. It might change them when you do. It might not, but it will certainly change our world. To live as Christians in this world, we are challenged to display radical hospitality, radical love, especially for those that we don't know, especially those who we think are our enemies. A story I heard this past week. My friend's cleaning ladies came to clean her house, and she started sharing with her her worries. She said, "I go to clean these houses, and my clients speak of how great Donald Trump is, what kind of great work he's going to do by cleaning our country." And she says, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid for myself, for my children, for my grandchildren. Because my children, coming as a child, growing up here, they have DACAs. And so that's what they are here, how they can stay. Herself, she's not documented. Her grandchildren are born here, so they are citizens." And she said, "I'm really afraid one of these days I'm going to be taken and sent back to my country, and I will never be able to see my grandchildren." This is the reality. Many of our friends, many of the people that work for us, many of our neighbors are experiencing. As we hear Jesus' teaching, not only love your neighbors, but love your enemies. And they're not even enemies. In what ways is Jesus calling us to practice radical hospitality in such time as this? I guess you've heard that many cities are now becoming more coming up saying, "We want to be the sanctuary cities," right? I saw an article that Red Bank is also now trying to become a sanctuary city, offering safety for those people who are living in fear. Now there are churches who are coming forward saying, "We want to be the sanctuary churches who can offer a safe space for people." That's a radical hospitality. That's a radical way of showing Jesus' love. I think, I don't know if you've heard, a while ago, there were people wearing safety pins around the city, around places, because, like in New York City, as people are riding subways, people are just randomly targeted because of their skin color or because of ethnicity, and they're just attacked verbally. And so people who are wearing safety pins, saying that, "I want to be a person that brings safety in those situations." So there are people finding different ways to show their radical love and hospitality to those who are living in fear. In what ways can we be the people of Christ who show this radical love? Loving our enemies, loving those who are who are living in fear. It is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will expand our boundaries and our capacity to love. Love those, especially those who need help. And love those whom we don't like. To love those whom we are fearful of. May the Holy Spirit continue to expand us. Amen.